This morning, the word of the Lord that we're going to reflect upon is from Hebrews chapter 6, beginning at verse 13. When God made his promise to Abraham, since there was no one greater for him to swear by, he swore by himself, saying, I will surely bless you and give you many descendants. And so after waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised. Men swear by someone greater than themselves, and the oath confirms what is said and puts an end to all argument. Because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised, he confirmed it with an oath. God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope offered to us may be greatly encouraged. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain, where Jesus, who went before us, has entered on our behalf. He has become a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We have Christian hope. And what exactly is Christian hope? Christian hope is radically different than the way we normally use the word hope. And we might say something like this. I hope it doesn't rain. Or maybe we say, I hope it does rain. Because we're wishing that it would. Or we say something like this. I hope that I get what I want for my birthday. I hope that the person I'm dating likes me. I hope to get a new bike or something that we want. You see, it's just a wish. It's something that we want, but it's not Christian hope. Because Christian hope is based upon what has happened, and so it's radically different. You see, when we hope for something, we're hoping for something that might happen. Christian hope is based on what has happened. And what has happened? Joe said it was one of the major reasons for giving thanks, that Jesus Christ came and died. That has happened. That is our hope, because he paid for our sins when he died. It's our hope, a hope that cannot change. It's a hope based upon the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We're not hoping that Jesus Christ would rise from the dead. We know he rose from the dead, and our hope is put in that. And where is he now? He's in heaven reigning for us. He promised he would come again. This is our hope. It's based on who God is and his unchangeable characteristics and qualities that we hope. And so sometimes the world doesn't have any idea what we're talking about, because our hope is realized hope. It's realized in Jesus Christ. And I've been talking about great reasons to give thanks on Thanksgiving. And the fact that we have hope that cannot be changed is a great reason to give thanks. Our hope is firmly established in Jesus Christ, our anchor. Now, this passage of Scripture may have been a little confusing to you, so I'm going to try and flesh it out as I look at it with you. Because you might have been wondering some things, and hopefully I can answer them as I go through the passage. Because there's two unchangeable things talked about in this passage. And what are those two unchangeable things? The first is this: God's promise is unchangeable because he is unchangeable. The second is this: God's oath is unchangeable because God cannot lie. God cannot change what he has promised by oath. And so these two unchangeable things, God's promise in God's oath. So let's look how they happened to Abraham, because to Abraham came the promise. We see it first in Genesis 12, verses 1 through 2. And there God, speaking to Abram, says these words, "I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I'll bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." Has that promise happened? Yes. I see someone who believes that it happened. Thank you, Joel, for shaking your head. It's happened. It's a promise that God kept. It's an unchangeable thing. Now, he reaffirms that again. I mean, it's not like God said it once to Abraham. He said it several times. So I'm going to read all the times he said it. And then we turn to the 17th chapter, these verses, 17, 1 through 8. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, "I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. I will confirm my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers." Abram fell face down and God said to him, "As for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham. For I have made you a father of many nations. I'll make you a very fruitful. I'll make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between you and me and your descendants after you for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. The whole land of Canaan, where you are now an alien, I will give as an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you, and I will be their God." This is the unchangeable promise of God. He said that you'll no longer be Abram. You'll be Abraham, because you'll be the father of many nations. And he is. That promise is fulfilled. He gave the land. And that promise is fulfilled. God is always faithful. But he also did this. He also gave the promise, which is unchangeable, but he confirmed that, and this is one of my favorite passages of Scripture in the Old Testament, Genesis 22. There we read about Isaac being sacrificed. Of course, he wasn't sacrificed because God provided the sacrifice. But Abraham took him to be sacrificed. So we read these words in Genesis 22. I'm going to begin reading at verse 13. Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. And you know, he was about to sacrifice his son Isaac. But God provided this ram. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided." The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, "I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, as the sand of the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring," through your offspring, through your offspring, don't miss that, "all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me." And who is the offspring? His name is Jesus. And in the name of Jesus, all the promises of God and the oath that he swore to Abraham is fulfilled. Because Jesus is our anchor of hope. Jesus is the fulfillment of the promise. Jesus is the fulfillment of the oath. And in Jesus, all these promises are true and can never be changed. God cannot lie, you see. It's impossible for him to lie because he cannot sin. And so whatever he swears to do is unchangeable. Whatever he promises to do is unchangeable because he is God and we bless him. And so this is our hope today. Our hope is this, that Jesus, our great high priest, has satisfied everything that God required in order that all the promises are fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And so today and always, this is the hope that is offered us. And it greatly encourages us. I love that part of the text where it says that in Hebrews 6, it says that it greatly encourages us. God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to him take hold of the hope offered to us as may be greatly encouraged. There's nothing that should encourage you more than what Jesus Christ has done and the certainty that we have in the promises of God found in him. And so we hope in him. We trust in him. Everything we need for life and death is found in Jesus Christ. Everything. Everything promised to Abraham is not fulfilled when Isaac was born. It's not fulfilled when later Jacob is born. It's not fulfilled when the 12 leaders of Israel are born. That only points us to fulfillment. The fulfillment is found in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ fulfills all the promises of God. And he is the one that leads us into the true promised land. Canaan is not the everlasting promised land that was ultimately promised by God. It only pointed to the promised land that we are all headed to through faith in Jesus Christ. The promised land is ours. And you cannot just wish about that, but you can have Christian hope that it is reality. The promised land is waiting for us. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if it were not so, I would not have told you. In my Father's house are many, many rooms, many mansions. And he has prepared a place for you and for me. Because that's his promise, and he will never fail. So our hope is an anchor for our souls. It holds us firm and secure because nothing can separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ. It cannot. That anchor is secure not because we made it secure, but because God made it secure through faith. One of the answers one of the children gave was really great. He said, the Holy Spirit. Well, the Holy Spirit constantly testifies to us that our anchor is Jesus Christ. And it's like he is the rope. So I don't think that child was wrong. Because I said faith, they go together. You see, without the Holy Spirit, who would have faith? So they're together. And it's firm and secure. That's not worldly hope. Worldly hope is not firm and secure. Only Christian hope is firm and secure. It's immovable. Because God is unchangeable and his promise is sure and his oath cannot fail. And it has not failed in Jesus Christ. And so then, in all the storms of life, no matter what they are, we're anchored. We're anchored. And that can't change. We have an anchor of hope. An anchor of hope. Nothing, no storm can separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ. Not even death. We're going to sing about that at the end of the service. Christ, our hope in life and in death. Because death doesn't change it. Death does not change our relationship to God. It only makes us see more fully what he has already done for us. You know, I think of Ellen's mom, my parents, Ellen's dad. I never knew him because he died in 1953, so I didn't meet him. But, you know, I have a hope. Because they put their trust in Jesus Christ. They put their trust in Jesus Christ for everything in life and in death. And it's my hope that they are now with Jesus. And I trust they are. Why? Because God promised and God swore by an oath and he fulfilled it in Jesus Christ. So anybody who trusts in Jesus Christ is with him forever. Wow, what a glorious day it'll be when we see our hope realized in that fullness, when we come into the presence of Jesus Christ in the true promised land, and we will see him. But in this life, things tend to overwhelm us. Sickness, loss, things that are difficult to understand. And where do you turn then? Remember your anchor. It's firm. It's secure. And so you're firm and secure no matter what terrible thing has come into your life. An illness, a great loss, broken relationships. This relationship will never be broken. This relationship will never fail. This is our security. And we are firm and secure in Jesus Christ. And see, the author to the Hebrews then jumps into this area which seems to be leaving this world, and I've been talking about outside this world, because our hope is in Jesus who entered the inner sanctuary on our behalf. That tabernacle or that temple had an inner sanctuary where the high priest would only go once a year with the blood that he would bring as a sacrifice for atonement for sins, and he would go on behalf of the people. And he had to have on his head, holy to the Lord. And he'd have the names of the 12 tribes on his vestment. And he would go in the presence. And Jesus has gone. He's gone into the presence, the very presence of God, into the Holy of Holies. And he tore apart that veil that kept us from God. He tore it apart because now he is victorious forever and ever. And he's our priest. And he has atoned perfectly for all of our sins. We have hope that is realized hope because Christ did what the high priest failed to do every year. Because they had to give a sacrifice for their own sins before they went in there. But the Holy One, Jesus Christ, who never sinned, entered into the Holy of Holies and tore apart the veil in order that we can bring our prayers right to him. And that's hope. I know that the most powerful being that ever lived and ever existed, Jesus Christ, is in heaven right now in the presence of God in the Holy of Holies in heaven. And he hears my prayers and he hears your prayers. He knows you, and he will never, ever let you be taken from his grip. That's the promise of God in Jesus Christ. Now, Melchizedek, very mysterious person in the Old Testament, no beginning, no end. Who is Melchizedek? I mean, scholars, they debate this up and down all over the place. Who is Melchizedek? Maybe they say he's a revelation of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. He might be that. I don't know. But he is a priest forever. And now Jesus is in the order of Melchizedek because his priesthood is forever. We don't have to give a sacrifice again. We don't come with sacrifices. We remember the sacrifice that was given for us. And in 2 weeks we hope to do that. Because our God is Jesus Christ. And we have realized hope in him. His work is finished for us, and he's eternally our high priest. So, Thanksgiving this week, give thanks to God that you have an anchor of hope in Jesus Christ. Give thanks that God has fulfilled all of his promises to Abraham. He's fulfilled his oath to Abraham. Give thanks that God is faithful. Give thanks that you have an anchor in the storms of life, and his name is Jesus. But I know that there could be someone here who doesn't have that hope. And if you don't have that hope, I want you today just to bow humbly before Lord Jesus Christ and ask him to give you that hope. That no matter what's happening in your life, you'll have that hope. You'll have an anchor that will hold you fast. And his name is Jesus. We can be courageous, authentic Christ followers, because our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and his righteousness. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are the fulfillment of the promise to Abraham. You are the fulfillment of the oath to Abraham. You are our anchor, and in you we trust. May your name be magnified. May this be a week of true thanksgiving for all the good things you have given us, but most of all, for Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.